Good morning. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God's Spirit speak to each of our hearts this morning. I wanted to welcome each one here in the sanctuary and also to those that are listening in your vehicles or at home. I'm glad that you could join us this morning, and my prayer is that we would be drawn closer to the Lord as we look into His Word. My message is titled, Living the Example of the Early Church. Today we celebrate the birth of the church. I love Jesus' words. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We see this promise come true here in Acts chapter 2. Now we know the Jews celebrated it for years. They celebrated this feast in the giving of the law to Moses. Originally, this festival was the time when, with the appropriate ritual and ceremony, the first fruits of the grain harvest were formally dedicated. In the later Jewish times, the feast developed into a commemoration of the giving of the Mosaic law. And to reinforce this, the rabbis taught that the law was given 50 days after the Exodus. It was the events of Acts 2 that transformed the Jewish festival into a Christian one. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This morning, my text is Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read the entire chapter. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men, they're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which now ye see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May God bless the reading of his word. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the birth of the church, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise that all those who put their trust in you, Lord, you said your Spirit will come and dwell in them. Father, we thank you for that promise. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, the example of the holy of the early church, Father, I pray that we would live by those principles, Father. And Lord, I pray that we would not grieve your Holy Spirit, but that we would allow your Spirit to conform us to the image of your Son. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to us, Father. Pray you would guide your servant. And Lord, I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to consider four experiences of this, of the early church. Very important. First of all, it says they were together. Now, when I think of Pentecost, Pentecost means 50th. It originally marked 50 days after the second day of the Passover. 7 weeks plus 1 day equals 50. Originally, it was called the Feast of Weeks. It celebrated the gathering of the wheat harvest, so it was called the Feast of First Fruits, or the ingathering of the Feast of Weeks. Now, the church was gathered at Pentecost, and this happened 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he spent 40 days with his post-resurrection body, with his disciples, and then he ascended into heaven. And they were waiting for 10 days without the presence of Jesus until the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. They were praying and they were waiting. It says in the text here, when Pentecost had fully come. What does it mean? Well, the Jewish day started at sunset. Sunday started at Saturday night. And by Sunday morning, when it was light, Pentecost had fully come. They were together physically in one place, most likely in the upper room, as it says in Acts 1, verse 13. It must have been a spacious room because it says that there were 120 people in that room. They were also together spiritually. Verse 1 says they were all with one accord in one place. Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, likes the term with one accord. It is a very important word, a Greek word. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Homothumadon. It comes from a combination of two Greek words, homo meaning the same, and thumos, which means heat or heated. When you combine the words together, it means to be in one spirit, or to be of one purpose, or to be of one mind. It's beautiful. In other words, they weren't just together physically. They were on the same page in purpose and in spirit. They were in complete harmony. One thing we know above all things is that we people are the church. People make up the church. Church is all about connecting with people at a spiritual level. It is important for the church to be together physically. That is what is meant by the word fellowship. As Acts 2:42 says, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and it says, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There's a phrase that is used over and over in the New Testament. It's the phrase, one another. It's pretty hard to do the one another when you're not with one another. We need to be with people for satisfying fellowship. Fellowship cannot be done alone or on podcasts or television or media or whatever. It requires fellowship with other people. And church, I hope and pray that we never get comfortable with church at home or church by yourselves, because God designed us to be together. That is true fellowship. I came across a few articles released by Harvard School of Public Health out of the United States, and I found it kind of interesting. It says, and I'll read it directly, these results are perhaps especially striking amidst the present COVID-19 pandemic. They are striking in part because clinicians are facing such extreme work demands and difficult conditions, and in part because many religious services have been suspended. The second article said this: people who attended religious services at least once a week were significantly less likely to die from deaths of despair, including deaths related to suicide, drug overdose, and alcohol. The New Testament answer to this is fellowship. We need one another. We need to be together in one place, in one accord, to encourage one another and to pray for one another, just like the early church. The second experience, they were empowered. Verses 2 to 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It so happened as God's will. Think back to what Jesus told his disciples. He told them to tarry a while until they are endued with power from on high. That was the promise. And here we see the fulfillment. Next to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the day of Pentecost is the next important day in church history. It's where He baptized believers into the body of Christ. It's where he filled them with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is unique because it is a one-time event in history. But the empowering of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. In fact, it is a command given by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. In the present tense, it would be translated, be consistently filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is this so important? Because if we're going to do spiritual work, we need God's power. We can do nothing on our own. And notice what we just read here in verses 2, 3, and 4. There were some phenomena that took place. A phenomenon is a remarkable event. There was an audible, something to be heard. There was a visible and an oral phenomenon that took place. First of all, the audible, it says that there was a sound of a rushing wind. This was not a weather condition. It doesn't even say that it was windy. It was the sound of the wind that got their attention. Why wind? It is a symbol of the presence and the power of God. Think back to your Old Testament. How did God speak to Job after his long stint of waiting on God? Job 38, through a whirlwind. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He said it is like the wind. It blows where it wants. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it is going. And by the way, I find it interesting. I understand that in both the Hebrew language and the Greek language, there's a single word that is translated wind, breath, and spirit. It's one word. In Hebrew, it's ruach. It's translated wind, breath, and spirit. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. R-U-A-C-H, ruach. And in the Greek language, it's the same thing. It's pneuma. It's the Greek word translated wind, breath, or spirit. So whether it is the breath of God breathing on the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, having them come back to life, or it's the Holy Spirit in salvation blowing wherever it wishes in John 3, the idea is that it is symbolic of the power and presence of God. So we see this audible phenomenon, and there is also a visible one. It says, there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and it happened individually in all 120 in that place. Why fire? Again, a symbol of the power and the presence of God. I find it interesting, how did God speak to Moses? Not just through a bush, but a burning bush. And it also says, it was burning, but it was not consumed. On Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were given with an array or a display of the fiery glory of God. In the wilderness at night, there was a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in their desert wanderings. The third phenomenon that we see here, an oral. Verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These tongues were not just some sort of mumbling. These were known human languages. Scripture is very clear with that. The word is Greek. It means acquired languages. Verse 8, notice it says, how is it that we hear each in our own language, or our native language in which we were born? That is the term dialectos, where we get our English word dialect from. And it says, not only are these Galileans speaking our language group, but they are speaking our own personal dialects. I find it somewhat interesting. I mean, when we go back to Genesis 11, you're familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel. The people were trying to build a tower and they wanted to reach the heavens. And how did God respond to that? God confused their languages. Here at Pentecost, heaven came down to mankind. It's like a reverse of what happened at the Tower of Babel. The gospel is unleashed to all the world. And Pentecost affirms that Jesus is the Savior for all races, all language, all tongues, and all tribes. The gospel is for everyone. A fourth remarkable phenomenon here, we see a proclamation of the gospel. Peter stands up, beginning of verse 14, and he boldly proclaims the gospel. Peter gives an amazing sermon. Why is this so amazing? Well, there's many reasons, because it is Peter, the guy who was scared to give a witness for Jesus to a servant girl at a garden at the night Jesus was arrested, and he ended up denying Jesus three times. The Peter who was so scared, and now he boldly and powerfully proclaims the gospel. What happened to Peter? The Holy Spirit empowered Peter. The Holy Spirit empowered Peter. Peter was filled with the Spirit, and he boldly and he clearly proclaimed the gospel. Peter is now a bold preacher. It was a powerful sermon because, as the Bible says, 3,000 people said yes to Jesus. I want you to think back to a promise in Acts 1:8. Jesus said that you shall receive power. Power is the word dunamis, the word which we get our word dynamic or dynamite. It means a new capacity. It means a power to be and to do what you could not do on your own strength. The Holy Spirit will fill and empower you. Also, in John chapter 7, take you back to another promise. On the last day of the great feast, that was the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that our Lord stood up in the temple in Jerusalem and says he cried out or shouted out these words because there were thousands of people and he had to get their attention. Jesus said these words, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." I'm sure the people were thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Flow rivers of living water? And John explains it right after that. He says, this he spoke of his Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But now Jesus is glorified, now he is ascended, and now the Holy Spirit is given. Jesus described it as living water flowing from you, not just satisfying you, but flowing from you. I'm making this distinction because some think, yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm so content. It's not about you being blessed, but rather you being a blessing to others. You become not just contented, but it's like we become a conduit to bless others. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we cannot do on our own strength. We can be a blessing to others. The life of God flows through you and blesses others. It makes an impact on others. That is what we are called to be, a blessing to others. Before I go further, I'd like to give us a little quick a word lesson. There are actually three little words. They're called prepositions when speaking of your relationship to the Holy Spirit. Three words: with, in, and upon. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with you, and he went on to describe that. He said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he is going to convict the world of sin and righteousness in judgment, of sin because they don't believe in me. Then he also says in John 14, verse 17, all those who accept Jesus Christ, he said, the Holy Spirit will then dwell in you. And then upon, the little word upon, in Acts 1:8, you'll have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Those three little words: with, in, and upon. And I believe the Holy Spirit is with every person. What he is doing is trying to convince them that they need help, they need a Savior. Some cooperate and say yes, some give in, many say no. The Holy Spirit is with people to draw them to Christ. Right? The Spirit of God is constantly working on the unsaved, working on the believer. If people say yes to Jesus, then he'll go from being with them to being in them, dwelling in our midst. And he abides with you, and he is in you. And the third little word, when he comes upon you, for service. You can look at it this way. He comes after us to make us saved. He comes into us to make us sanctified, the ongoing work of sanctification, and he comes upon us to empower us, to fill us so that we can do and be what we can't do without him. And it's clear. It says they were together and they were empowered. I want us to also note another experience this church, this early church, went through. They were misunderstood. Because they were together and empowered, they were misunderstood. And it is clear, the world has always misunderstood the people of God. As it says in verse 5, he says, are these not Galileans? They were regarded as uneducated people. It's like, can you believe it? Galileans know our individual languages? Verse 8, and how we hear, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, and he gives the whole list here. And it says in verse 12, they were all amazed, and they were, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. The world will always misunderstand the church. This should not surprise us. They misunderstood Jesus. His own family misunderstood him. His disciples didn't understand him. He talked with the resurrection and death of himself, and they would look at each other. What is he meaning? Jesus was often misunderstood by people. Paul was misunderstood by people. The leader said to him, they said, your much learning is making you crazy. In fact, Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And then he goes on to say, neither can he know them because They are spiritually discerned. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, and neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. They lack the capability unless the Spirit of God reveals it to them and helps them to understand. A fourth and final point. We see this, of this church, they were scriptural, they received the truth. If you can say, "I did it God's way," you can lay your head down on the pillow at night and sleep. If we go to verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said, he said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem," he says, "be known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." And listen to verse 16. He says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He quotes from the Old Testament. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse 17 to 21, he quotes from the book of Joel. Verse 25 to 28, he quotes from Psalm 16, the words of David. Verse 34 and 35, he quotes from Psalm 110. Each time he is appealing to the scripture. This is fulfilled prediction. You're seeing what the scripture has been saying all along. Everything is scripturally based. And if you truly want a biblical lifestyle, your life must have a biblical foundation. I understand 60-some times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus referred to the Old Testament. Even though he is God in human flesh, he pointed back to the scripture. Jesus said to Satan in the wilderness when he was tempted, he said, "It is written." John 10, Jesus says, "To whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." Numerous times in scripture, Jesus says, "Have you not read the law? Have you not read what was written?" We see here the truth was presented. Peter stood up. He spoke on the last days, the events that will happen, what will happen to those who refuse Jesus Christ. He spoke on who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he died and he rose again. And he preached on what we need to do. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And he says, "This promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The truth was presented. Salvation was presented. And what we need to do. I want to close with Colossians 3. I want to encourage us to live the example that the early church did. And take these words with you. Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this early church, Father. We thank you for the example that they left for us to follow. Lord, we thank you for your promise of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would obey your Spirit, Father. Lord, I thank you for so many of your promises and how we see that Scripture was fulfilled. What you said came to pass. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for each one here and those that are listening, Father. I pray that our desire would be to be more like your Son, Father, to say yes to your Spirit, to obey your Spirit, to allow you to conform us. And Lord, that we would never be ashamed to share the gospel. Father, that is the greatest message ever. Lord, we pray for all those that are lost, those that reject you. Father, we pray that you would work in their heart and that they would see the light. Father, I want to also pray for so many that are suffering and hurting. Many have lost loved ones. Father, I pray that you would be near to them, that you would comfort them. Father, I also think of the VBS program coming up. Lord, I pray that you would call the children and that you would call more volunteers that are willing to help and to serve. Father, I pray that you would work in people's hearts and lives, and that people would respond with obedience. Father, I also pray for the MDS opportunity, Father. There's always help that is needed. And Lord, I pray that you would call people and that people would respond, that we would have a desire and hunger to serve and to help out and help those in need, especially in the way of disaster. Father, I pray that you would work in people's hearts. Father, I just thank you for Pentecost, the birth of your church, coming of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for everything that was fulfilled. Lord, we thank you for your great love. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to walk in obedience to you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take the cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, with me, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
In closing, we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to learn from the early church. God gives his Spirit to all those who put their trust in him. Let's not grieve the Spirit, but obey him and allow him to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. The early church left us an incredible example. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. And the scriptures tell us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were continually together. They had true fellowship. They shared with one another as someone had need. They had Jesus, and therefore they had joy. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continuing daily one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is what we need to continue to do until Jesus comes back. May God have encouraged us this morning. I want to thank each one for coming and listening. Thank you for all the wonderful songs. So beautiful to sing together with people, with God's people. I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you for your prayers. And we want to pray for you as the Spirit leads. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God's peace and protection go with each one. And I'll call the ushers forward.